like kicking it.
Yeah. Y'all can sit down. I'm going to start over here, and you'll see in a moment. First things first, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. And as always, just guide my words and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start by telling y'all three things, two that have nothing to do with my sermon, more about just giving God glory. And then the third thing is about my sermon. And fourth, kind of, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. So the first thing is, a few weeks ago, it was raining. and these first two things I've already talked to Shea about. And y'all know the lady liked to holler. And the lady then hollered more. So the first thing is, yeah, like I said, it was raining. And for those who don't know, I go pick up trash outside in the mornings before I come in and do whatever I got to do in here. Literally right as I come in and I park, it just starts pouring down raining. And I say to myself, well, that's great. I'm going to be wet now. But I still got to go pick up trash. So I go inside. I get everything I need. And not sooner than I stepped outside, it had stopped raining. If that's not God, I don't know what is. The second thing is, a couple weeks ago when Pastor Mike was up, was preaching, he, preaching slash teaching, whatever you decide to call, whatever you do up there. he had said something that hit me. he had said, some of y'all are just grouchy at work. And for whatever reason, that stuck to me. That stuck to me real bad. So then I thought about it, even as I'm sitting here listening to him, I thought about it, I'm like, man, am I that grouchy at work? Is he talking to me? So then, you know, I go to work and I look at myself and I'm like, okay, maybe he was talking to me. Maybe I am a little grouchy. So even since then, I've seen, better from myself. Because that's what we always want to do. We strive to be better. We strive to show Christ to everybody, regardless of the situation. And don't get me wrong, I love my job. I do. But I had noticed that I wasn't always the most pleasant person. I tell everybody I don't like people. I'd have a terrible job if I don't like people. The truth of the matter is, I might not like people, but I love people. And I work with people well. So even with that, you still got to smile. You still got to be pleasant. You don't do things for yourself. You do everything to the glory and honor of God. Amen. So the third and fourth, and I'll try to make these a little bit quicker. I wanted to do something a little bit different. As you see, podium's not up on the pulpit. But it started off with me wanting to make a box. Told my father, wanted to make a box. I gave him dimensions of said box. He took 2 seconds, thought about it, and then he walks back in with a box that I made in ninth grade. That were pretty much the dimensions that I wanted. I didn't tell him this at the time, but it was like, man, you kind of ruined my fun. I did? Oh, okay. Well, I did tell him. He ruined my fun. And the fourth thing is, this morning, Gwen, because I needed a table, I went and talked to her real quick, and we found the table. And one of the last things she asked me, she was like, how long is your sermon going to be? I tell her, I don't know. But I do know one thing, is if we're at church for very long, it's going to be Shishi's fault. So, with that being said, here's kind of how things are going to go. I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to tell a story. And I'm going to ask a question. After that question, I don't know. However God decides to go about that, I will let him do that. But the scripture that we're coming from today is 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 10. And I'll read the last half of 2 as well. Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness, with contentment, is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can take nothing with us when we leave it. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Amen. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So, to kind of set the scene, we're all outside. We're under a big tent, just out in an open field, nothing too crazy. You've all been invited here, and the invitation just says, hey, show up, you're going to be there for a funeral. The all black makes a little bit more sense now to some of these people. I asked my family to wear all black, and it's funny that you didn't read the text message, sir. So it's funny to see how many people have actually worn black today. We're all sitting here, you know, we're here early, and well, at least I hope we're here early, and eventually, one lone gentleman comes at the front of the tent, takes off his bag, takes off his coat, sits at the table. Pulls out a book, opens it up, and then proceeds to start speaking. So, thank you all for being here. I know this is very unusual. I know this is kind of weird, but thank you for being here regardless. We're all here for a funeral. This funeral is for an unnamed rich man. This unnamed rich man, by the time he died, had roughly $80 million in his bank account, effectively making him the third richest man in the world. Didn't have any family, no next of kin, but in his will, his request was to invite as many people as possible to his funeral, hence why we are outside under a giant tent. Some buildings can't hold this many people. Now, there's a section of the will that he would like me to read to all of you. This part of the will says, thank you all for being here. If my lawyer is reading this, it is because clearly I have passed. You all have been generous enough to give up your time and your busy schedules to be here. But unfortunately, I will not be so generous. See, I worked extremely hard for every penny I've earned. And truthfully, I have no intentions of sharing it. Yes, yes, I know. How evil of me to waste your time like this. But stick around. You might like what you hear. As I've stated, I've earned money, therefore I will take it with me. But it won't be paper money I will take it that I will take with me. No, it'll be something a bit heavier. My request is to be buried in gold. All of my $80 billion will be buried with me in gold. I myself will be cremated, but my casket will be filled with gold. I thank you once again for being here. My lawyer will now read you some more information. Good day to you all. At this point, his lawyer proceeds to give the extra information. The extra information is that gold is weighed in troy ounces, which is roughly about 1.09 ounces in normal talk, kind of. $80 million in gold in troy ounces is 42,771,984 troy ounces. He proceeds to go to his bag one more time. Pulls out a box. This box is a representation of the rich man's casket. He then proceeds to open the box. Pull out what looks like pieces of wood, but truly what they are just representations of the rich man's gold. Little do we know, troy ounces can be converted into pounds. So $80 million in gold translates to 2,932,936 pounds, roughly. If that's divided into 8 solid pieces of gold that will be stuffed in his casket, that's roughly 492 pounds per piece of gold. At this point, I haven't really finished the story. All I know is that at this point, the lawyer gathers up all of his pieces. He shuts his box, he puts it away. He says good day to everybody and leaves everybody staring at each other. So I leave to you guys to figure out how the story ends. But I will ask this one question. What's your gold? What's your gold? What's that one thing that you desire so much that you might be putting it before God? For the rich man, clearly, it was literally his gold. For everybody else, it could be the rich man's gold. It could be the desire to have that rich man's gold. It could be something else for us in real life. Could be our kids, could be our families. Everybody who knows me knows I love my family dearly. But if God told me to kick them off a ledge, I would. For those who didn't hear my father, he said, "That's my son." Being a Christian is hard. We all know that. We all enjoy things. We all like to
do our own thing at times. But we have to get to a point in time where we truly realize it's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's not about, you know, doing the things that we want to do. It's about doing what God wants us to do. And we have a tendency to put things before God. We have a tendency to put to do things that God doesn't want us to do, but we are so tied to these things, whether it's your money, whether it's your family, your friends, any sort of activity, whatever it is, material, immaterial, we all have our stuff. None of us are perfect, but we have to strive to be. We have to strive to take our gold and put it to the side and put God first. Amen. I think I'm done.